Beloved, the Father of Light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech, the white power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, enjoy the Spirit.
Pushed it on my head. And I accept with every humility. Praise God. I'll do my own back when the time is right. Amen. Nice to be here. Nice to have you. I appreciate Pastor. I think he's outside. I think that the Belu too is outside there for the opportunity to be here this evening. Can we just worship the Lord just for like a few minutes? I don't know if someone in the choir can help me out with this Dunsi song that says, "You are amazing and you amaze me." Hallelujah. I want us to take that song together. The song says, "You are amazing." It says, "You amaze me and you are amazing."
Oh, one more time. God, you are great. God, you are great and you are good. You are kind. You are gracious. Your anger is but for a moment, but your mercies are unto a thousand generations. We thank you, Father. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Lord, I will say only the things that you want me to say. In the name of Jesus. Grant us understanding. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate everybody that has gone ahead of me in this talk. I am going to be drawing from everything that everybody has said. Hallelujah. Father Ogi did a good job in showing us about the kingdom as it has to do with our freedom, as it has to do with freedom from fear, as it has to do with freedom from death, and that if all these things are not conquered, we are not going to be effective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are free citizens and we must understand that. We must understand that the kingdom of God is the original kingdom. Hallelujah. Most times we want to study God's kingdom from the perspective of what we have seen and what we know. But the truth is, there is no kingdom on earth that can truly typify God's kingdom. Hallelujah. That at best will be the kingdom of men. So in understanding the kingdom of God, we have to look at the things that he has revealed to us. And that's the only way we can understand. I don't know if there is any king in the world today, if there is any president. Have you wondered if there are actually leaders who are leaders for humanity's sake? I don't know if you have found one. It seems that every leader in the name of even the ones that have the so-called clearest intentions are also trying to make a name for themselves. Have you noticed that? Hallelujah. If anybody comes, everybody is hailing the Oyo State Governor now, and I hail him too. Okay? But I realize that let them scatter everything in Nigeria right now. Let us scatter everything and say let us reset. In that reset, some people still want to be the... Imagine that Southwest should carve out of Nigeria now. Who do you think we want to be the first president of this Southwest? If we had the Southwestern Nigeria, Jagaban, we still want to... So Jesus said that in this world, this is where masters, the rulers lord it over there. It's the characteristic of this system that we live in. So want to use this system to understand God's system of running things is going to be very, very, very wrong and inaccurate. Praise God. I know that one person's kingdom was close to that, but it's still not close. David, for example, I don't know, he earned the throne in the spirit. You know when the prophecy was going to come about Jesus? Bible says Gabriel told Mary that God will give him the kingdom of he'll give him the throne of his father David. So you must understand that that throne is not Daddy, you're welcome, sir. That throne is not the kingship of Judah or anywhere. it's something in the spirit that he came into. I don't know if I will be able to go there. Maybe we'll talk about the throne of David and see one or two things we can pick from there. But tonight, I just want us to magnify God tonight and bring his lordship, his kingship again to perspective before we now move on. Hallelujah. And if for the number of times God will allow me to come here, I will also, deal with basic things too. I want to talk about basic things about the kingdom. Amen. God's things are not should not necessarily be new, but it should be fresh. Are we together? And when is it fresh? When it ministers life to you. Amen. And a lot of confusion is coming because, when Paul said that, I would rather speak 5 words in understanding than speak how many thousand words? 10,000 words in tongues. I think that place for me, I read it and I look at it, it's beyond tongues alone. It's trying to say that in the kingdom, communication is very, very important. Hallelujah. Communication is what? Important. Which means that we should exhort ourselves. If I'm exhorting you, and you don't even understand what I'm trying to exhort you over, fine, it's not every word you hear for the first time that you get to understand. Do we agree together? But there must be a way to communicate to you so that this thing can be clear. Jesus came to make it clear. Praise God. He made it so simple that he began to use parables to explain the kingdom of God. I don't know how we would have understood the kingdom of God without those stories. Amen. So imagine that I come here and I start telling 30 stories to explain the kingdom. Is it allowed? Is it allowed? Sir? But Jesus came to the basis and was using what people understood, what people knew, to explain the kingdom. That means that we must explain this thing in such a way that you must come to a point where you realize that you are a part of this kingdom and that this kingdom is working in your life. Hallelujah. And so these fundamental things, we are still going to talk about them. We will always need to talk about them because there are new people coming to church. There are new people getting born again. So we will always need to talk about these things. Hallelujah. And I think Paul was not having a problem with the Hebrews church that they had to teach these things. He only said that when you guys ought to be teachers, you are still expecting somebody to see come and teach you. Which means that there are people here that as you hear these things, you should also grow. So that when those new people come, they can learn faster. Praise God. When they see these things happen in your life and in my life, what's going to happen to them? They will learn faster. Because the two components is doing and teaching. Praise God. But the doing always comes first. And I think people learn more by what they see than what they hear. Hallelujah. So we are still going to talk basic fundamental things. This evening we are going to read some scriptures. I just want to talk about God's magnificence, his bigness, his greatness as a king. Because we may lose sight of that. God is not only God. God is also king. Praise God. There's a way you must see God that an unbeliever does not see him. Hello. If the way you are still seeing God is the way an unbeliever out there is still seeing him, then I think something is wrong with you. Hallelujah. He is much more than that. An average person out there believes that even the drug addicts will pray to God and say, God, this cocaine I want to carry, but God. Say, don't they pray? Don't prostitutes pray that they have customers? Even drug addicts, when they want to, armed robbers, when they want to go and rob, don't they pray? They know that there's a God somewhere. Abi, don't they know? Hallelujah. They know there's a God somewhere. So if your perspective of God is also their perspective, then you're most miserable. There's something God is to you that he's not to them out there. And that you must understand. That is the reason why you live the kind of life you live. That is the reason why we place ourselves in some streets sometimes that, you know, naturally we will not put ourselves. That's the reason why we have to be patient sometimes. Hallelujah. So God to you, God to me, is not the same as God to the world. He has gone beyond the fact that he is just the God. But let us look at him from, let's read some scriptures. Let's read from Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9. I'm going to start from there. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is where? In heaven. We will come back there again. Let's see Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll read verse 39 and verse 40. Deuteronomy 32, verses 39 and 40. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Verse 40. For I lift up my hand to heaven. I really don't know which heaven God lifted his hand to. Hallelujah. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I what? Please, everybody, I what? I live forever. When God lifts his hand and he swears, then there's no other anything. There's only one other place where God did this, when he swore to Abraham. And that covenant is the reason why you and I are sitting. And that covenant is still true till tomorrow. That's your God. That's your God. Isaiah 37, verse 16. Isaiah 37, 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Let's see the next verse. Let's start from 15. Okay, that was Hezekiah praying. Alright. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10. But now thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed. Ye are my witnesses, said the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Let's all read this together. The house is too cold tonight. I don't know why. Let's read together. One, two, go. Ye are my witnesses, said the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. The truth is that the only one who has bragging rights in the universe is God. And you know why? He does not depend on anybody. You know, a time came, my grandma will give it a thought. I said, in that realm of God, can there be other... Sure, you know, in Greek mythology, they have gods. They have Zeus. Then with Zeus, he has a brother called Hades. Then they now have Poseidon and all those. When you look at them, they are all gods in their, you know, though they are stratified, but they are all gods. And I said, actually God did an audit too. Hello. God also did an audit to look around and check if there is any other God in every realm of existence. If God said he did it, there's a scripture I'm looking for. I don't know if I'm the one paraphrasing it. He said that he searched. I looked for that scripture all through today. I did not see it. Maybe I'm the one paraphrasing it, or it's a version of the Bible. He said he searched everywhere and did not find any other God like him. I tried to look for it. Isaiah I thought it was in Isaiah. I looked all through. I looked and looked. I did not see. He said he looked, he searched, and did not find any God beside him. I don't know if you can look for that later. I was only able to get scriptures. I don't know if it was a version of the Bible that put it that way. I was looking for that particular rendering. It was powerful. He said, I looked, I searched. You know, God looked everywhere. God searched to even see if there is any other being. And if you ask yourself, who created God? And how far did your brain go? There's a bar you can't just go beyond. While I was looking for that scripture, I went online and I saw that by 2050 they are saying that human beings, in fact they were saying that if you are less than 40 now, you'll be lucky that by 2050 you may not die again. Science is planning how to replace your body parts, your failing body parts with new ones. They have a 2050 target for that. That's one option. Another option is for them to take your mind and put it inside a computer. Or put it inside a robotic body so that you can have bodies. Even if your body fails, they can capture your mind and put it inside. And I'm like, God, are you watching these people do this? But they can't get that because they don't even know where the soul is. Hallelujah. I'm sure that one is going to fail. That one is going to fail. That's how deep men are going. But irrespective of all that, God says that he is God. This evening I just want to paint God to us. I want us to see God. And know that before creation came at all, he had been God. Hallelujah. His kingdom had existed. But Jesus came and began to preach that people should repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. So where was God before creation? I cannot answer the question. But one thing I know is that God had been God, even when there was nothing. Hallelujah. Every other thing, every other material you see, apart from him, was made. Amen. Every other material was made. Even angels were what? They were made. They were created. Some people say that they are beings of light, that they were made from. I don't know how they were made. The Bible didn't tell us how they were made. But they are still in the realm of creation. Hallelujah. And when the Bible says that creation is expecting the manifestation of the sons of God, it's not only physical creation that we can see. Even angels are looking into, because the world to come is not going to be their world. It's going to be our world. Hallelujah. And the Bible says they are trying to peep into this salvation and they are trying to look and they are asking questions and saying, God, who is man? That you are what? That you are mindful of him. So what makes a king a king? Is it his throne? Or his crown? What makes a king a king? Maybe we should ask. Brother Manuel, what makes a king a king? You don't know. What makes a king a king? Who can tell us? Salisi. What makes a king a king? This is a class. What do you think? Why do you think a king is a king? Influence. There are kings so who don't have, you know, we have kings now that generally. But there are people who have influence and they are not kings. They have crowns. Good. So what is that thing that makes the influence? Judgment. Why would we take a case to a king in the first place? There's something. Before a king begins to make judgment, something must have drawn us to him. Where we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Let us go back there. We began to see a father that has a kingdom. I think Pastor raised that question one time and told us that it's an assignment. Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," and your what? And then you now look at it. God as a father and God as a king. He's still the same person. After it said thy kingdom come, what was the next statement? This is what makes a king a king. It is his will. Sometimes that will is expressed in words. The Bible says that wherever the word of a king is, they say, Oba nikon kwewa, undifa. Do you understand? The king said they should go and call you. He said they should wait, that you are consulting the oracle. Both you and the oracle, they will pack two of you. That is real king, so. That's real king, go. If some kings come in this Akura, I can choose to not go. I have fundamental human rights. What makes a king is his will being done. That is that thing you are calling influence. You don't have influence by... You know, there are some area boys that have more influence more than some kings in our times. That means there are some kind of... They are a class of kings in their own right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you watch that movie, King of Boys? You saw that woman. She was a woman, but she was king of boys. Controlling boys. Why? She was not even in Nigeria, she was in America. She was still doing meeting. People like that, when you even try to kill them, one way somehow death understands that these people, they shouldn't die now. Because they are kingpins. Hallelujah. So what makes a king is his will. And that is one thing that God wants to be done in every realm of creation. I'm trying to see how this, we have been talking about, because the importance of this kingdom thing is that you must understand how it relates to you. Hello. I realized that everything Paul them were doing was kingdom. Do you understand? That says Paul, when Acts, Book of Acts was going to finish, Paul was in a rented apartment. What was he doing? He was still preaching the kingdom. So when we say kingdom, please don't look for it, because Jesus even said that the kingdom of God is not going to be by observation. Hello. So you must understand that when we say kingdom, what we are doing right now is what? Because it seems to me that there are about two perspectives to this thing. I'm going to draw something from Pastor Bello's teaching on God's sovereignty and the human will. How many of us remember that teaching? How many of us remember? I'm going to draw something from it, because since that time, that thing opened up something. Where was I before I moved away? Before I went to that. Yeah, I was talking about this matter of the kingdom. You must understand where you stand in that kingdom. Because it looks like, the way Jesus puts it, one looks like the kingdom is like, what was he preaching? What was Jesus preaching when he was here? He was preaching what? The kingdom. And what was the kingdom? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Sure, you know that's kingdom. Blessed are those that mourn. That is also kingdom. And in some respects, you find Jesus talking about the kingdom like something that is going to come. For example, he said in the kingdom of his father, he said that he is going to remove those that cause offense. Hello? Say we should look at some of those scriptures so that we will not be talking from... Let's see one of those parables of the kingdom. Let's check Matthew's account. Let's look at the story. Let's look at the story of the wheat, for example, in Matthew chapter 13, from verse 24. But because of time, I'm not going to go over the story. These are popular stories that I expect us to know. But even if you don't know it, please go back and read. I want us to see Jesus interpreted that parable in verse 36. From verse 40, he said, let's read from 40 because of time. Who is on the console? As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Yes. The Son of Man shall send for his name and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that what? That offend, and then which do what? Iniquity. So I looked at this scripture and I'm asking myself, which kingdom? Which kingdom are we talking about? It means that even in the kingdom of God, there are people that God will be looking at and they will be offending. Alright? There's still going to be a separation. Hello? Do we agree that there's still going to be a separation? If you look at the parable of the fisherman that went to sea and cast his net also, Jesus was likening the kingdom of God to these things. He gathered so much. In gathering, I want to believe Jesus is not talking about the world, because the net was thrown into the world. And then the net gathered so much. After they gathered, after they settled down, they now began to sort. So that is a perspective. Those are the two perspectives in which Jesus used that word, kingdom of God, or what? Or kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. But the two are not separate. They are not different things, because that kingdom is already here. Hello? Hello? That kingdom is where? Already here. Now, you getting to know where you stand, because why do you think Jesus was preaching and saying that repent for the kingdom of God? Why did they need to warn people ahead of? Why? Hello, I think Jesus should have just come and just introduced the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because there's no way kingdom can be expressed without men. Hello. God needs, Jesus said somewhere, said the kingdom of God is within you. So the instrumentality of the expansion of the kingdom of God is not politics. Hello. It is not what? It is not even taking the seven mountains. At least it doesn't start from there. The primary thing about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is after the souls of men. Because that is where God can find expression. And that was why Jesus was preaching. John also did the same thing, trying to prepare the hearts of men to receive, because that is a primary place where the kingdom of God is what? Is expressed. Amen. That is what creation is going to respond to. Hello. So, you must now begin to find I am a citizen of the pastor taught us about citizenship in the kingdom. Now you must now come to know, how am I involved? How does it concern me? Some of us just hear kingdom of God. You really don't know how far. You shall know that you are born again. You really don't know how far. Am I lying? You hear kingdom of God. And even for some of us, when they say kingdom of God, we are thinking, hello? We are thinking, you remember that song? One song moved us very much when we were young. If you listen to those songs those days, you'll be born again. If I, when you watch the video of that song, you'll be so afraid you want to born again.
I don't think those songs can catch anybody now. It's like human soul has advanced. If you're advancing the frontiers of aging and planning how human beings will stay here, can you see that the Tower of Babel is being built again? It's being built again. And it's a serious business. When God was saying, let us go down and see what they are doing, something that God will come down and come and see is not a small thing. Hello. It's not fornication and adultery. God does not need to come down. But there were some things, Sodom and Gomorrah, they committed their sins to an extent. God said, let us go down. Once God tells you, let us go down and see, there's wala. There were very rare cases where God said, let us, are you not telling me that God in heaven is not, is only, he's omnipresent now, he can see everything. But if he has to come in bodily form, so that their judgment can be full. At least, if he judges them as God, they will say, it's because you are a spirit, you are God. God came in the likeness of man, and he walked to come and see what was happening in Sodom. There were very, very few cases. And also in cases where God also came in human form and met Abraham at his tent, you know that it's also a serious matter. Hallelujah. Are we together? So we see that if Satan is pushing those frontiers, then survival in our times, I wonder, if that technology, I now ask myself, this mark of the beast, excuse me, we don't know what this thing is looking like. Many people we have taken it before they know what they are taking. But it's going to look like, they will sell that thing medically, they begin to sell that technology of you not dying. Hallelujah. Of replacing your body parts. These are the places where, as a matter of fact, I watched this one. They are somebody that cultured human brain on a chip. And they sent electrical impulse into the human brain. And that cell of the brain was sending messages to a robot. And the robot was moving. Hello. They are trying to locate where the human soul is. The man took small part. He's a professor. Those guys, I don't think those guys know God. Those are the people we are going to confront. Their science is becoming very sure for them. We don't know what is happening in Nigeria here. We don't really don't know. We don't know. So, what makes a king actually is his will. His will has to be done. If your will is not done as a king, then you are not. You are not what? It's a king. You don't defy the orders of a king. Even in our culture here, when monarchy was still monarchy and kingship was kingship, you don't defy the orders of a king. Rather than for the words of a king not to come to pass, somebody can go for it. Hello? Because if his words should go forth and somebody disobeys, it doesn't come to pass. Others will have did you see the picture of the coronation of Oba of Owo, that the governor of this state, who was his boss, and made him permanent sec before he left government, the governor prostrated. I don't know if it's political prostration. I don't know. But the king, Norton, and people told me, I didn't be honest, they showed me the picture, people that went to the place and snapped it. Akechi was 0 degrees on the floor. Well, because it's award to award. Maybe it's because it's award to award. But maybe he won't do that for any other king anyway. That is the power that the king wields. Hallelujah. But as much as God's will has to be done in every realm of creation, when we watched that movie, Doctor Strange, and they were painting some things to us that they are universes and they are diamond. You know when that wizard pushed Dr. Strange and the guy went into, his soul left his body and he was falling into, maybe you watched the movie. Fine, I am not supporting sorcery. But those guys are trying, many of these movies they are telling us, those are things we are going to confront too. Sorcery is still going to come back. Hello? Those things are going to come back because they are becoming. Sorcery is now becoming the order of the day in American movies and all that. you know, supernatural, the supernatural and powers and all that. But one thing God did was that God also gave you a will. Hallelujah. I don't know why God did that. I really don't know why God did that. But God gave man a will. And interestingly enough, man has not been able to submit that will to God. And if you now begin to hear that when Jesus must have submitted the kingdom to the Father, it is still the matter of God's will and what? And man's will. It is a battle of wills. So when we begin to talk about the warfare of the kingdom, there's no way we are not going to touch this, because that is how it concerns you as a person. Hallelujah. Because the only way the kingdom of God can find expression in you and through you is when your will is what? Is submitted to his own. How many of us remember Seth Theory? Some people don't know what that there's anything called. It's not football set too. I mean mathematics set theory. If I had a board, I would have drawn a Venn diagram. How many of you remember Venn diagram? Sergeant, okay? You don't remember. At least all of us did math, whether you are in science, whether you were a science student or a commercial and arts student. There's something you call universal set. Still we remember. There's no board. Brother David, if I can get marker and board, I don't mind. Let's refresh ourselves and teach Bible from mathematics. I remember we used to write that universal set either with a U or with an epsilon. Okay? And inside that universal set, you can now have smaller sets inside. You have subsets. Thank you. And in those subsets, there are some operations we used to find. You can find union of a set. You can have... Thank you very much. Hallelujah. I'll be surprised that some children that left secondary school last year cannot remember all these things I'm telling you. Because they went to a miracle center. Yes, I have them. I have students who want to do sciences now. They want to do engineering. They come for a one-year level program. And I discovered that when I teach them in class, they will be looking at me like cowhead. It's like anything I say is coming back. I was forced to call one of them one day. I said, come, what is it, Gogo? I discovered that anytime, I see that anytime I'm teaching physics, you are just confused. And he said, sir, I was not a science student. And I said, this program you are doing, you are running this program to enter into 200 level, either nursing or engineering or something. And you say you're not, so which O level result qualified you for this program? She said, my mommy is a nurse. So she's a matron somewhere. I know she wants to fix up her daughter in that profession. So after the girl finished as a commercial and arts student, they just took her to one place, registered her in one kangaroo center, and maybe the child did one WAEC or NECU. And she has credits in physics, chemistry, and biology. And somebody that never did physics for all 3 years, I'm sure they did that exam for her, now comes and I'm thinking, she cannot understand. So when the result came and they said only 20-something% passed, I said, I can't help them. Hallelujah. So in that universal set, you discover that that universal set is still talking about God. Because outside God, there's nothing else. Hallelujah. Inside that set is you. Small like that. Thank you. Is you small like that? If you find the union of a universal set and a subset, what is going to be the result? When you find the intersection between a universal set and a subset, what is the result? Intersection, universal set, I don't agree. There is. This is the universal set. Abby? Then there's a subset inside. Where is, okay, let's call it set A. Where is this union A? Where do we show it? You see the universal set. What is this intercept A? It's A. Thank you. For those history. Mrs. Ogido, Adaba has taken everything away. Eh? You are lost. Abba, don't worry, even if you don't get it. The important thing is that if you are looking for the union between this universal set and this smaller set, the answer, their union, is still, because you can find this small set inside this big set. But when you are trying to find the common ground between this small set and the universal set, you discover that this is where they intersect, this place. This is the only thing. This is God's will and this is your will. So determine where you fall between here and here. Hallelujah. There's a way you relate with Him, the result you get is Him. And there's a way you relate with Him, the result you get is yourself. Hallelujah. It's a battle of wills. And if the kingdom of God must find expression in the earth, I think it should belong here. There are many of us here who are trying to look for where you and God have. They're trying to size God up. Praise God. Trying to look for where you and God have. God is not interested in where you and Him are common. God is interested in Him sucking you up. He's interested in Him taking you over. Because where the will of God exists, no other will can exist. I'm saying this because in your personal life, you are going to come to this point. Because that is where it starts from. Any gospel of the kingdom starts from where? From here. As a matter of fact, the first message about the kingdom John preached and that Jesus preached that you should repent. It means that every other thing man had been doing before the kingdom of God began to be preached. It was until they began to... Jesus said from the days of the law and the prophets, they were up till John. He said, but since then, that is in Luke chapter 16, I think verse 16. He said, the kingdom of God is being preached and people now began to press. Hallelujah. That means up till that time, nobody was pressing. The kingdom of God was, because God had been king. Hallelujah. It wasn't the coming of Jesus that made God king. But because we know that in the old order, God did not have access to man. At best, what God did was that God rested on men. But God in the new is now saying, okay, we are about to open the way for Him to have access into men. Because without that, kingdom cannot be expressed. Hallelujah. And that was why Jesus was preaching that you should repent because the kingdom of God has come. We can preach from now till the kingdom come. If on individual levels God does not have His way with us, nothing is going to move. Hallelujah. Nothing is going to what? Nothing will move. I'm not so much afraid for the unbelievers out there. That's not my fear. My fear is us. Because if He says that, is He going to remove from His kingdom the things that offend? It means that even with us, God may be having some problem. Some of us are hard. Some of us are very hard. For God to break through us, it's going to take Him some effort. And it begins from how do we begin to appreciate the little things that we hear in church. Because if you have been in church for years and you are not changing, you are not progressing, there's no way kingdom can find expression. Hello. At best, you will enter heaven. But you only make this program extended. Because that is the only way. God's inheritance in us, God's inheritance in the physical realm, in this realm that we are in, this fallen realm that we are in, God's inheritance, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he was saying that we have this treasure where? It was in that chapter Paul divided us into two. We normally say spirit, soul, body, but Paul just made it two. He says if our outer man, we know that this our outer man is perishing by the day, but our inward man, that inward man is God's inheritance. Hello. He said that what can a man give in exchange? He says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He said there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You and I will not know that thing until probably we appear over there. Because you really don't know when they say, Jesus said it, I didn't say it. When they said there is joy in heaven, then there must really be joy there. If you say there is joy on earth, I can say it's fake one. But if Jesus says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that comes home, and Jesus began to use the story of that boy, that prodigal, the Yorubas call it Omoni no Kuno. That interpretation is not, I don't think is correct. Hallelujah. Anyways, Osha, he went and did the Nokuno, I agree. Jesus began to use all those things to paint how much one soul is precious to God. So, at what makes you precious? Is it just because God wants you to come to heaven? I don't think that is the only reason why you are precious to Him. Fine, He breathed into man. Man became a living soul. You carry God's property. Your life is not your own. Hallelujah. If you preach to an unbeliever, tell him also that his life is not what? It's not his own. Somebody planted something inside there. Amen. You are a free moral agent, I agree. God gave you will. But the reason why He gave you a will is so that you can use that will to submit your will to His will. Because outside Him, nothing exists. And God cannot put up with anything. Did you see those scriptures we read? He said there is no God. He said before me, no God was formed. After me, there will not be another. There won't be God. He says I am a jealous God. You won't understand the jealousy of God. Maybe we should preach a message on the jealousy of who? Hallelujah. How far, how much is God having His way with you? We have talked about your covenant right as a child of God, that you are free, you are a citizen of the kingdom, the fear of death is no longer there. Those things have been established. But there's a way you are also supposed to be involved in this thing. Because one of the strongest things is a man's will. I think it was Pastor Matthews that said that, Pastor Matthew in Abuja, what's that his first name? I read his post, Daily Matthews on Facebook. He said, turning a man's soul, winning a man's soul is more difficult than winning the stars or something. It's one of the most difficult things to do. But can God have His way with us? Well, we can't talk about any other thing until God begins to have His way with you and with me. That is the way it has been designed that the kingdom of God should be expressed. That God can find expression through a man. Listen, there are other indicators of the kingdom which I trust God we are going to talk about. For example, Jesus said that if I cast out devils by the finger of God, it means that the kingdom of God is upon you. And we have to talk about indicators. Those are indicators. Hallelujah. We can raise the dead and heal the sick and do all that. Those are indicators. There was a place the psalmist was writing. He said, your name is near. How did he put it? He said, your name is near, and your wondrous works declare it. Hello? So when you see the wondrous works of God, one thing they are doing is that they are telling you that the name of the Lord is what? Is near. They are not the real things. The real thing is man yielding to God. That's the real thing. In closing for tonight, I have like 5 minutes. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because you have got to change. I'm bringing this as a challenge to you and to myself. Some of us have been in church for years and we are still very, very petty. You know? I hear people complain that they were not, you didn't visit me. And because of that, they are angry. And I ask myself, when will you start visiting people too? Hello? Because we have to begin to, because those are, if we are petty, God can, what God can do with us is going to be limited. It's going to be limited. Verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the what? In the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Through God, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Yes? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your what? We apply this scripture generally. This scripture was not a general scripture. Please, if you have NLT, a more, Paul, hello, before you move away. Paul said, having in a readiness to revenge all, Paul was saying that he has a readiness to come to them. Hello. Paul was talking about himself here. It's not a general scripture. Let's see if you have NLT or... If after you have what? Become fully obedient. What are we going to do? We will punish everyone who remains what? Disobedient. So when we talk about casting down imaginations and all that, we are still... That is the work that every ministry gift that comes to this place is trying to do. All of us have it in our hearts. All of us. All of us. We have... You won't know what people carry until you engage them. We all have these things inside of us. There were people that were saying it there that this Paul self is very timid. But when he writes his letter, he'll be bombarding us. Paul now said that my weapon of war is not carnal. It's not my bone face that does it. He said, but my weapon is mighty through God. And he's casting that imagination. Though he told them, he said, I'll come with a rod. Say, which one do you want? He said, I will come. He told them. He was blunt with them. He said, this time when I come, you should choose which one you want. Whether you want me to come with a rod or you want me to come gently. Hallelujah. All of us have it, and that is the reason why we are here. The message of the kingdom requires one thing, that we change. Amen. It requires that we what? That we change and we transform. Your coming to church must begin to have lasting impact. Must begin to have impact in you. You must begin to see that change. You have to change. That is the vehicle for the movement and expansion of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I posted something about Jaco yesterday. And what moved me to go and look for that was I was reading Hagin's book, Spirits Within and Spirit Upon. How many of us have read that book? And he talked about a minister that God sent him to, and that minister died at 38. In 1956, December, I said, Otitrashiriton, you didn't want to mention the name. So I went online, and I went to look for the Voice of Healing minister that died in 1956. Eventually, I found out that it was Jaco. He died, he fell sick as 1956 December, he was down with polio. And by 1957, January or February, he was dead. And I looked at those men. I know what Hagin said God told him. God told him that Jaco was not walking in love with other ministers. That was why he died. Say, God said, I have to... How did Paul say they should treat that man? Hand over his body to Satan so that his spirit may be saved. Hagin said he went to warn him. But the man... So I was interested in the story. And I realized that no matter the big war... People like Jaco should have still, he was 38 when he died. And the things that man did were not small things. But I realized that when God cannot have his way with a man, there's no externality you can do. You can do the miracles, you can do the healings. Once God cannot have his way with you, you are going to truncate that program. Hello? He had the largest tent. He went to somebody's revival, and whose revival did he even go to? And saw his tent. He went and built a bigger tent and told the world that my tent is the biggest. And then he began to become independent from the Assemblies of God. They excommunicated him. He started. I realized that no matter what, if the man had probably walked in love with other ministers, I'm still trying to dig into how he didn't walk in love, because I really want to know. Such things interest me. If God can just have his way with us, and the man was, maybe he will still have been preserved for years to come. Many of those men, you look at them, many of them did great works, mighty works, but there were some people like Abraham. There were some small things. And that's what God is trying to deal with in us. And if we can only use, God will use us. God wants to use us. Tell somebody God wants to use you. But God's problem is, can you be trusted? Please, I want this to reach us tonight. So I will go. I intend next week to go into prayers, because you can't talk about kingdom and not talk prayer. As a matter of fact, Matthew 6:9 that we read was a prayer. So when he was saying that kingdom come, it was a prayer. So without prayers, kingdom cannot move through. We'll talk about all those other things, but the fundamental thing is that how much is God having his way with you? How much is God having his way with you? I trust God that by next week, we will continue from here. If Jesus tarries, so remain rapturable. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. That was a mathematical exposition. I wonder what Pastor Dalsu will do when he comes. Amen. Well, do I need to summarize what Pastor has said? Or do we just...
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday, 6 p.m. Sunday meetings, 9 a.m. Grace be with you.